Thank you, David. You know, we live in a world today that downplays the idea of accountability. And I suppose probably mankind has been prone to shift his blame upon other people. Even from the very dawn of creation in the bowers of Eden. When the Bible tells us that God had made Adam and Eve, placed them in the Garden of Eden, and all went well until the devil found his way among them. And the Bible tells us that Eve was beguiled, and she ate of that forbidden fruit, of which God said that she was not to partake, and he said, in the day that you eat thereof, you shall surely die. Well, she gave it unto her husband Adam, and you well know the account and what happened. Finally, God reckoned with them after having both of them partaken of that forbidden fruit. And when God dealt with Adam, he said, why have you done this? And he said, well, the woman you gave me, she did cause me to eat. And we know that in actuality, mankind from the very beginning of time has never ever really wanted to accept responsibility for his behavior. We live in an age today where no one really wants to accept responsibility for what they do. We have a lot of people that are incarcerated out at Tennessee Colony and the Texas penal institutions out there who believe that they are innocent and unwilling to accept responsibility for their wrongdoing. Even people who have committed mass murder, people who have taken the innocent lives and have destroyed them, and many who steal, many who burglarize, many who do drugs, who still believe that they are innocent. They have convinced themselves that they're okay, and they do not believe that they're accountable for their behavior. We have husbands today who do not believe that they are accountable for their behavior in the family. Wives who do not believe that they're accountable. We have politicians in Washington tonight who do not believe that they are accountable to the American people for the decisions and their own behavior every day. I have learned in life that everybody is accountable to someone. Sometimes we get the feeling that there are those in the world that are accountable to no one. But did you know that each and every one of us tonight are accountable to someone? I want you to think with me on the subject of accountability tonight. You know, if Christ taught anything, he taught that people are accountable. Someday you and I will meet our Maker, and we will be held accountable to God for what we do, for how we live here, for what we have done, for what we have not done. Our negligence, people often talk about the sins of commission, but they often talk about the sins of omission. And probably if there's anything that troubles me more tonight than anything else, it is not so much the sin of commission. I try to live as God wants me to live. But sometimes there are those things that I omit in my life that I look back on and think maybe I need to be doing that, or maybe this is something I need to be doing. And the Bible says, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? And you know, many of us, I think, are guilty more so of the sins of omission than the sins of commission. In the book of Romans, the 14th chapter, and verse 10 and 12, if you have your Bibles, you may open them to that passage. I want to read this tonight because I think it's extremely important and tantamount to us understanding that we are accountable unto God. The Apostle Paul, in addressing the Romans through this pen of inspiration, made this statement. For we will all stand before God's judgment seat. If you're reading, you might be reading from a little bit different translation, but essentially it says the same thing. It is written, as surely as I live, saith the Lord, every knee will bow before me, and every tongue will confess to God. So then each one of us will give an account of himself unto God. We have often used this passage to illustrate the need for us to make a profession or a confession of our faith unto Christ. But that's not really what he's talking about here. What he's really talking about here is our confession of sin. And it is something that few people in this world ever do. No one likes to admit that they are a sinner. Very few people will acknowledge their sin. A lot of people look at their lives and they say, well, I'm okay. Or generally, they will place their life against someone else and say, I'm not as bad as someone else. And that's kind of the way we live our lives. We think it's all right to sin a little as long as you don't sin a lot. And we believe, for some reason or another, God is going to overlook little sins, but he's really concerned tonight about major sin. That's why people sometimes, when they talk about lying, have you ever noticed they always talk about little white lies? It's all right to lie a little as long as you don't lie big. As long as you don't lie about the big issues of life, it's all right to lie and distort and deceive when it comes to the little things of life. But the Bible in the book of Revelation chapter 21 and verse 8 says that all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth of fire and brimstone. You and I are accountable unto God tonight. I want to tell you, first of all, things for which you are accountable. You're accountable unto God for the way you live your life. And that's why Paul in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 5 said that we will all give an account for the deeds done in the body, whether they be good or whether they be bad. We are accountable unto God for what you do every day with your life. Just think about that God's going to hold me accountable for what I've done today. He will hold you accountable for what you have done today in your life. And can you truthfully say with the parting of this day that what you have done is truly acceptable to God? He will not only hold you accountable for the actions of your life, he will hold you accountable for the words that you speak. In the book of John 12, the Bible teaches us that we will give an account for our words. Matthew also says the same thing. For every idle word that man shall speak, you shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment. By your words you will be justified, or by your words you will be condemned. You're accountable to God. And when you speak unkindly, and sometimes people in today's world often use profanity and they take God's name in vain, and such is unacceptable before God, and we'll be held accountable. Accountable for our actions, accountable for our words. Accountable for our time. Stop and think about it. God gives you your life. Did you know that your life is really summed up in the clock? It is. Who was the poet that said the clock of life is wound but once and no man has the power to tell just when the hands will stop at late or early hour? So live in love and toil with a will and place no faith in tomorrow, for the hands may then be still. And your life will come to an end. And we talked about that this morning, but it is so true, isn't it? We only have a limited amount of time, and God expects us to use our time wisely. Paul, in writing to the New Testament church, said that we are to redeem the time. That means to buy the time. We use it wisely. Think about what you do with your time. I challenged you last week to go to your checkbook and find out how you spend your money. And it will be an indication as to what really is most important to you in your life. Just go to your checkbook and do that. But you know what you ought to do? Maybe you ought to go back and look at your calendar. You know, my wife keeps a complete calendar just about every day. She's very meticulous about it. And she's sitting here tonight. She's giving me a real stare, wanting to know where I'm going with this. But anyway, she is very, I think she keeps up there how many times I tell her I love her. No, she really doesn't. But anyway, I can tell you for sure, she keeps a very meticulous calendar, and she writes everything on it, dates and things that are really important. And we keep those calendars through the year, and we go back sometimes and look at that calendar to find out what we did on that particular day. Maybe some of you do that. But you know, it would be wise for us to really stop and analyze how we spend our time. What do you do with your time? What do you do with your time? If God holds us accountable for our time, and I really believe that he will, are you using your time wisely? We are accountable. Our actions, our words, our time. And we are accountable for our inaction, that is, the neglect of doing the things that we need to do. You know, there are so many things in life as a child of God that we ought to be doing that we often neglect in life. In our lives, we may be able to hide sometimes the character flaws and our sins from our family and our friends and from the church, but you don't hide anything from God. God evaluates everything that we do in life. I want you to turn over to the book of Psalms 139. There's a very interesting passage here, and David helps us to understand how God is so near. In Psalms 139, beginning in verse 1, he says, O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. God searches me. He searches you every day. You know, sometimes you go into a building, and the other day when we were up in Dallas, they were saying that they made a search of all those people that were coming into that seminar. About every fourth person, they searched to make sure they didn't have firearms on them or whatever. But think about it. God searches us every day. He's looking us over. He says, thou knowest my down-sitting and my uprising. Thou understandest my thought when it is afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all of my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. Does that sound like God takes note of the words that we speak? Our actions, it does to me. Thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid thine hand upon me. And such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain unto it. And then he asks the question. He says, whither shall I go from thy spirit? Or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. And if I make my bed in hell or in the grave, behold, thou art there. And if I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light around me. You know, that just goes to show you that you cannot hide your sin before God. You're accountable unto God. You may say, let darkness cover my sin. God says, I'll bring it to light. For thou hast possessed my reins. Thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. And I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, O God, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect, and in thy book all my members were written, which is continuous, were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God. How great is the sum of them. And if I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. And when I awake, I am still with thee. Accountable to God for all that we do. In Matthew 12:36, again he says we're accountable to God in the day of judgment. But you know what? We're not only accountable unto God. Now, I want you to think with me on this one. Do you know that you are accountable to me, and I am accountable to you? Now, whether you believe that or not, and a lot of people say, well, it's none of your business what I do. It is none of your business what I say. It is none of your business how I live my life. God does not say that. He doesn't. You know, there's some scriptures in the Word of God that make us feel so uncomfortable that we tend to ignore them and to dismiss them from our minds. But accountability is not a new concept. Each of us is accountable to people every day. If you have a job, you are accountable to your employer. I don't care who you are. Some people don't like that. They don't like evaluation. I noticed that the National Teachers Organization is trying to keep information about whether or not you're a good teacher or a bad teacher from the people of America. That's a big issue right now in our country. But we're accountable. If you are married, you are accountable to your mate. If you have children, you're accountable to your children, and children are accountable unto their parents. That's why the Bible teaches that the wife is to submit unto her husband, as the church submits unto Christ. And that children are to obey their parents in the Lord, for this is right. You're accountable. And as brothers and sisters in Christ, we are accountable one to another. When it comes to our character and our spiritual development, we are prone to resist accountability. We are. We often reason that that is between us and God. I don't know how many times I have talked to people, and Dale and I both as elders in the church have been to counsel with people and encourage them to come back to the body of Christ when they have erred and they have strayed away, and we've tried to follow the biblical principles in doing that. And so often, sometimes, people will say, well, that again, you know, that's just between me and God. Well, I guess that sounds good to the ears of the one who is saying it, but it certainly is not pleasing to the ears of Jehovah. I believe that you and I are accountable one to another. Turn again, if you will, in the Bible, if you don't believe that, to the book of Galatians chapter 6, verse 1. The Bible says, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one. In the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. And bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man thinketh himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. Let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone, and not in another. Now that sounds to me that each and every one of us have a responsibility to our brothers and sisters in Christ. And that even goes back to the children of Adam and Eve, Cain and Abel. You will well remember that God had respect unto Abel's sacrifice because he offered it in faith. We read about that over in the book of Hebrews chapter 11. And you will also read how Cain became wroth and angry at God because he favored what Abel had done. And because of his anger and his hostility and his rejection of his own accountability to God, the Bible says that he decided to destroy his own brother and to take his brother out of the way because of his jealousy and his envy and his anger and his hostility. And so he takes his own brother's life. But Cain learns that he is responsible not only for his brother's blood, but he is accountable unto God for what he did. And God deals with him. And he asks him, why? And he says, where is your brother? And he says, like many people do in the Lord's church today, am I my brother's keeper? And the obvious answer to that is a yes. We are our brother's keeper. And a number of years ago in the church, and you don't hear of it too much anymore, there was a program that was actually called Brother's Keepers. And it stood for the idea that all of us were working to kind of keep brothers and sisters in Christ together and helping them overcome those problems that they faced in life. And we are, my friend, our brother's keeper. Whether we admit it or not, we are accountable to one another. And he says, if you see that brother out there that's overtaken in fault, many people don't do it. We just let it slide and go on, and we say nothing about it. You know what? If the truth were known tonight, many of us can think about people right now that ought to be here that are not here. People that have distanced themselves from the church for some reason or another, and they no longer are in a relationship with God. And we do nothing about it. We sit idly by. And we believe, I guess, in our own mind's eye that we're just in what we do, but God will hold us accountable. Cain learned that lesson, and it was a hard lesson for him to learn. And because of his rejection of his accountability to God, God placed a mark upon Cain and sent him throughout the earth. We are accountable. It's not just between you and God. And it's a misnomer to say, well, hey, that's my business and that's none of your business. Accountability is a relationship between believers wherein one has invited the other to monitor his own spiritual development and his character in more than one area. If a brother sins, rebuke him, and if he repents, forgive him, Jesus says in Luke 17 and verse 3. How does accountability work? Well, as a Christian, we should give our brothers and sisters in Christ the invitation to evaluate our own character. Sometimes people begin to think they are above flaw, and we're not. We all are accountable because we all make mistakes. We all sin. Listen to James 5:19. My brothers, if one of you should wander from the truth and someone should bring him back, remember this. Now listen to what he's saying. Whoever turns a sinner from the error of his way will save him from death and will cover a multitude of sin. That sounds to me that we're accountable. And you know, according to the Word of God, the Bible says that elders will give an account for the souls that they shepherd someday. That's always been a very sobering and serious thought for me. That someday, I will answer for the souls of those we shepherd. Those of us who are children of God should welcome a wise man's rebuke. In Proverbs 9 and verse 8, Solomon says, rebuke a wise man and he will love you. Proverbs 25:12, like an earring of gold or an ornament of fine gold, he says, is a wise man's rebuke to a listening ear. As Christians, we must encourage one another because we are accountable. And I hope that we understand that. We are our brother's keeper. We're accountable to God, but we're accountable to one another as well. And I hope that each of us tonight, having been reminded of that, will act upon it. And I hope that we'll perhaps every day, when we begin our day, ask God to help us to live in such a way that with that accountability that we will live a righteous life before our Maker and that we would not do anything that would shame the church or hurt the body of Christ or cause someone to look upon our Father in heaven with disdain. And that if we know those in the body of Christ who are Christians, that is, they at one time were faithful to God and they've departed from the faith, I hope God would give us the courage and help us have the conviction to be able to reach out to them and do what we can. You may not bring them back, no more than God is going to save every soul, not because he doesn't want to, because many reject the gospel and will not come. And it really, God doesn't force us, it's an invitation. And an invitation means that you can either come or not come. And it's a choice that each of us make every day. Sometimes we need encouragement, however, to make the right choice. I'm thankful for those through the years who have helped me make what I consider to be wise choices in my life. And I hope tonight that every one of us will do our best to encourage and to strengthen others who may have gone astray. We're going to sing an invitation song tonight that our brother has selected, and I hope that as we sing this song that it would be good for us to evaluate our lives tonight, wouldn't it? The Bible says that, take heed unto yourselves, and maybe as you make that evaluation tonight and you deem that maybe there are some things that are just wrong, and you know that being accountable unto God, God would not be pleased with what you do or what you said or maybe what you've left undone. And as you do that, and as we sing the song, and you feel the need to respond publicly to the cause of Jesus, maybe to ask for the prayers of the Lord's church, or perhaps maybe to make that rededication of your life to him, or to become a Christian by faith and obedience to his will in baptism, then now would be a good time to do that while we stand and while we sing.